Did you know that this year is the 50th anniversary, the 50th year anniversary of when our church family first began public worship services? In 1974, a nucleus group of people got together and they began gathering people to form a church family. And for about a year, they met as a fellowship group. And in September of 1975, 50 years ago, this coming September, they began meeting for public worship. And some of those folks are here today still, Mary and Foy Fugate, Charlene Carlson, Dee Dee Opfer and her family. And we celebrate that because for the last 50 years, Community Covenant Church has been impacting people here in Johnson County and beyond with the good news of Jesus. And can I say, this is no ordinary church. This is no ordinary church. And yet we recognize at the same time that through the years, there have been some hardships and difficulties that our church family's gone through, especially the last decade with some of the conflict that led to some people leaving the church and going to other churches. And then COVID happened, right? And with COVID, that led to changes in how we needed to do ministry. And that resulted in some people leaving. And yet I want to say, look at where we are at as we come into 2025. It is amazing. To God be the glory as to where we are at when we come into 2025. For the last year to 16 months, we as a congregation have become, I believe, more emotionally and spiritually healthy than we have been in a number of years. And we are at a new life stage in our church family. And that is exciting to me. We get to be a part of what God is doing here. And so it's no coincidence, I believe, that this is happening, because for a few years, a couple of years ago, our leadership team under Dave Harold's direction walked through a book called Pursuing God's Will Together, a discernment practice for leadership teams. And we began to discern what was God's will for the life of our church. And as we did that, we came to the conclusion that we needed to get away from focusing on the building and we needed to focus on the ministry God was calling us to. And with that decision, we began praying that Ignatian prayer for indifference so that we could ultimately pray a prayer of indifference. And that doesn't mean that we were being apathetic. What it means is that we wanted God's agenda, not ours, for the life of our church family. And as we prayed through that process, and as the leadership team came to the conclusion that we needed to simply hold this building and a mortgage with open hands and let God be at work, and we needed to do what God was calling us to do, which was to focus on the ministry, look at what God has done in the last year to 16 months. To God be the glory. Absolutely. Let's give thanks and praise for that. We have been freed to be able to put our focus on the ministry and not worry about a building and whether it's worshiping here or worshiping in another location, wherever that happens to be in the future. God is doing things through us and will continue to do things through Community Covenant Church. And I got to say, this last year has been so different. There is a joy. There is a wonderful spirit. There is a wonderful attitude that is going on in our church family now. And so many of you have commented to me about the difference that we are experiencing. I got to say, that's exciting to me as a pastor. And I am so grateful for that. And I am grateful for the many ways that we all have been living into ministry this last year. As Jen talked about, some of the things that have been happening here in the life of the church, and that's not all. One of the things, too, was we were inviting people to step up into service. And I can't remember the number now. It's not in my head. But a number of you began stepping into ministry and stepping into service. And I've got to say, as a result of all of what God has been doing, this is no ordinary church. And I am thrilled that this is no ordinary church, because these are no ordinary times. I've been in pastoral ministry now at some level in the church for the last 45 years. I started in 1980 as a youth pastor at the Covenant Church in Lexington, Massachusetts. And through these years, I've noticed that doing ministry in our culture and in our country is becoming more and more difficult. And each year it becomes more difficult than it has ever been before. And unfortunately, you see, much of the church in America is not having the impact that God wants us to have. As a smaller number of people in our nation are living in a life-transforming, eternity-changing relationship with God as a result of having experienced His love and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. And a much smaller percentage of people are attending church more now than in past decades. And so they're not getting the opportunity that comes with being part of a church family and part of a small group and part of worship on a Sunday morning. They're not getting that opportunity to grow into their faith. And according to recent data, this is what I read just a couple of weeks ago as I was looking at statistics. The data said that on any given Sunday in the United States, only 20% of the American population is in any kind of a Christian church. And the word church being broadly defined as either evangelical, mainline, Catholic, or Orthodox. Only 20% on any given Sunday. The statistics went on to say that church attendance since the year 2000 is down by 12% as an expression of the percentage of the total United States population. And according to some of that data and the studies they're doing, they're saying that as many as 100,000 churches are going to close in the next couple of decades. And I look at that and I go, these are no ordinary times. And yet, can I say there's an excitement in me, an encouragement in me? Because what the statistics also show is that 39% of all millennials, 39% of all millennials are now reporting attending church on a regular basis. Their percentages far outweigh even the boomer generation, my generation, which had been previously the most faithful in attending church. And I got to say, I am so excited about what's happening in the next generation. And I'm excited about what I see in some of our young adults and what's happening as they are growing in their faith and coming alive in their faith. And we need them in the church. We need them to help us be a no ordinary church because these are no ordinary times. Now I could say a lot of things this morning about what it means to be a no ordinary church. But I want to turn our attention on this Vision Sunday to 2 Thessalonians and briefly look at a couple of aspects of what it means. Two characteristics of a no ordinary church. And if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 1. You can do that on your phone. If you don't have it, it's going to be here on the screen behind me in a few moments when we get into reading some of this in a bit. But as you're turning there, I want to say to us that most of Paul's letters that we find in the New Testament were written to churches who were quite honestly having some real problems. And oftentimes he is writing to address problems going on in the church. And the reality is that happens because, right, there are no perfect people. We all know that. Just look at the person next to you. You can say there's no perfect people. And they'll look back at you and say there's no perfect people, right? And so Paul is writing his letters to correct some things that are going on. Sometimes it's a heresy, a theological heresy. Jen talked about that, how right after the time of Jesus, people are arguing over different doctrines and somehow the church is beginning to go astray a bit. And so Paul's writing to correct some of those things in some of his letters. And in other of his letters, he's writing to correct some conflicts that are happening in the life of the church as a result of people behaving badly. Imagine that. People behave badly at times, right? She laughs. She knows. She lives with me, right? However, one exception to this is the church in Thessalonica. Because as he writes to this church family, he is writing to commend them, not to correct them. Now understand that the Thessalonian church was birthed in the midst of great persecution in their culture and their society. Their story is found in Acts 17, and Paul is in that town. He's telling people about Jesus. They're in opposition to that. They get all riled up. A riot happens. They run him out of town because they don't like the message about Jesus that he's declaring. And that environment is nothing short of hostile. And yet, as he has planted this small group of people, this church, it begins to take root even in the midst of the kind of opposition that it was facing, that the people were facing. And the church begins to take root. It begins to mature. It begins to show faithfulness to Jesus and fruitfulness in their ministry, even in the midst of persecution and adversity. And their reputation becomes an inspiration to churches far and wide. And so let's look this morning at just the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And I invite you to stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's word. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica to give you who belong to God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love all of you have for one another is increasing. And therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All of this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. And this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. And this includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. And so we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. And then the name of the Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. And this, let's make no mistake about it, it's not because of us. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord, word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Paul says here about the church in Thessalonica that their faith is growing more and more. They are continuing to grow in their relationship with God. And as they grow in their intimacy with Jesus, what happens? The end of verse 3 happens. Their love for each other is increasing. In other words, what's going on there is a reflection of our own vision and mission statement here at Community Covenant Church. Our vision statement, our big picture of what we want to become and what we want to be like is that we are becoming like Jesus together. And our mission statement tells us how we get there. And that is by growing together in our relationship with Jesus, growing in community with each other, and growing in our ministry to the world around us. In other words, what's happening in Thessalonica and what we want to be happening here and what we're seeing happen here is that out of the overflow of our growing in our relationship with God, out of the overflow of having a greater intimacy with Jesus, comes involvement with ministry to one another in the life of the church and ministry to people out in the world around us. And what's interesting to me is that all of this is happening in a culture that day where the people of God were suffering persecution. People were coming against them because of their faith. And we see some of that going on in our culture today too, don't we? As non-believers attack people of faith verbally, certainly. We see it online. We see it in the news media at times. We see that going on. We've experienced some of that ourselves in schools and in places of work. And Paul goes on to say that as a result of them enduring in the midst of that, Paul says in verse 4, we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. And what he's saying here and what's going on here is that when there is both a faithfulness to Jesus and a fruitfulness in ministry by people in the church, they are no ordinary church. And I want to say to us this morning, that's really the first characteristic of a no ordinary church. It is being a healthy missional church. That's the first characteristic of being a no ordinary church is being a healthy missional church. And what do we mean by that? Well, when we talk about healthy, we're talking about pursuing a relationship with Jesus. We're talking about growing in a greater intimacy with him. And by missional, what we're talking about is that we are pursuing Jesus's priorities in the world. We're reaching people with faith in Jesus Christ by doing the ministry that God calls us to do out there in the world around us. And so we do. We grow together in our relationship with God. We grow in community with each other as we're in small groups and community groups and Bible studies and coming together and encouraging one another and doing life together. And then out of the overflow of that, we get to go out into the world around us and have a mission in the world and help people come to know Jesus and his love and his grace and his forgiveness of sin. You see, the healthy missional church pursues Jesus and pursues Jesus's priorities in the world. And so the healthy missional church has a faithfulness dimension as people are growing in their relationship with Jesus, and it has a fruitfulness dimension as it does its ministry within the body and the world around us. And I encourage you, go home this week and read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. They're not long letters, but read them, and what you'll see is Paul lavishly commending them for cultivating both their devotion to Jesus and their devotion to Jesus's mission here on earth. Now, there's a second characteristic of what it means to be a no ordinary church, and we find these as well in this first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And I got to say to you, it's a really important aspect for us to grasp if we are wanting to be an emotionally healthy church or a healthy missional church moving into the future. And that's the reason why this last fall, our staff and our leadership team have been reevaluating our ministries, and we've been coming up with a ministry plan to move forward into 2025 with. And it is because of this second characteristic of a no ordinary church. And what is it? It is a church where we are is not as important as where we are going. You get that? Where we are is not as important as where we are going. And what that is saying is that where the church is headed is a better indication of our health than where the church is at a particular moment. Look again at what Paul says in verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so. And now listen closely. Because your faith is what? Growing more and more. And the love every one of you has for each other is what? Increasing. Our faith is growing more and more, and the love that we have for one another is increasing. Paul is commending their progress. He's commending their trajectory, not necessarily their immediate state. Paul is not having commended them for having arrived. He's commending them for the progress that they're making, for the course on which they are headed. And folks, that's telling us that, if a church wants to be a no ordinary church and a church wants to be a healthy missional church, there must be a willingness of the people in that church to honestly and continuously be looking at our trajectory and our direction. In other words, where we're heading, the course we're on. And we need to be asking ourselves and evaluating, are we making progress? When we only look where we are at, we could fall into the danger of deceiving ourselves and thinking that we are going to be okay in the future. You see, there's a problem with a moment in time evaluation. And it's that when we're just taking an immediate snapshot and looking at where we are at right now, we could become prone to becoming satisfied, right? We've arrived. And if we become satisfied, that satisfaction is going to lead to stagnation, and that stagnation will in turn lead to inertia, and that inertia will in turn lead to decline. Paul here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 is pointing the Thessalonica church and us and every other Christian church past a moment in time evaluation, a snapshot in time evaluation, to the evaluation of direction and trajectory. He's not praising them for having arrived. He's praising them for being on the right track. And so we've got to realize that if we want to be like the Thessalonians who the Bible commends for going deeper in their relationship with the Lord and going deeper in their relationship with others and then getting out there in the world and ministering to others with the love of Jesus, then we want to keep moving forward. We want to keep growing in it. We want to keep taking our next steps in our relationship with Jesus and each other and in ministry. And so toward that end, this last fall, our staff went through a process of looking back at the last year, and we've been tracking the last year and looking at the results of what happened in the last year, and then beginning to develop the next step for us, the 2025 ministry plan. And as you see coming up here on the screen, our vision still remains the same of becoming like Jesus together. And our mission of how to get there is still the same in that we want to be growing together in our relationship with Jesus, in community with others, and in our ministry to the world. But we also have a goal. We have a plan. And that is that we want the people of community to continue to take the next steps in their relationship with Jesus and with each other in 2025. We want you to keep going. We want to be like the church there in Thessalonica, where it's not about where we are at right now, but it's about our direction. It's about our trajectory. And so we as a staff began to ask each other as a staff, how are we going to contribute? How are we going to contribute toward helping all of us take our next steps with Jesus and with each other? And we looked at worship and prayer and preaching and teaching and Sunday school and community groups and children and youth and congregational care and connections and our local and global serve ministries, our preschool, our properties, our social media, our website, our video production. And when it came to all of this, we as a staff said, what are we going to do to help people at Community Covenant Church take their next steps in 2025? And how do we measure whether that is successful or not? Whether we're successful in accomplishing our main goal, our main plan. And the measures that we kept in mind were, as we see coming up here on the screen, that we want to see more people come to know Jesus. We want to see people recommitting their lives to him. We want to see more baptism. We want to see people serving in ministry more and more, people growing in their prayer life. And that's why we've developed the prayer room. And we hope that in this next year, many of you will sign up to spend a half hour, an hour in the prayer room at some point through the week. We want to see people grow in our engagement in scripture. And we want to see people inviting others to church and becoming consistent in our own attendance, and then getting out there and loving on people in the name of Jesus, blessing them, as we talk about a lot around here, beginning it with praying for people, and then getting alongside people and listening to their heart and their concerns, and maybe sharing a meal together, a cup of coffee with them. We eat with them, and then we serve them and their needs with love. And through that, we have an opportunity to share our relationship with Jesus and how God loves them. And we're hoping that more and more people are going to be doing that. Because you see, we don't want to just become ingrown. We want to be reaching out. And so we also, this last fall, began to look at what is the filter through which we want to examine our ministries. And this is what the filter was. We are a church who is passionate about reaching all people with the gospel, while creating an environment that welcomes the unchurched, young singles, and families. Now, don't get caught off by that word young, because I know we've got a lot of older people here too, okay? We're not discounting older people. In fact, we realize that some of you who are older, your peer group is also older, you know? Some of you aren't hanging around with 20-year-olds all the time. And you need to be reaching them as well. We want our people reaching all people with the gospel. But what we want to do is be able to create an environment that welcomes the unchurched and young singles and families. We want to reach these people because, you see, it's not about where we are at today. It is about where we are heading in the future. It is about our trajectory. It's about our direction as a church family. And it's exciting. I mean, we as a staff are excited about what we can be doing in our ministries that will help reach the unchurched and help reach families in our neighborhood. We are becoming much more of a neighborhood kind of community. We're working in the schools at Sunflower and Rising Star, and we're looking at ways to reach the apartments around us. And we are seeing God at work, and we want to invite people into that. I know that for myself, I don't ever want me to be able to say what I heard one man a while ago say about his life. And I was so sad when I heard it. He said, "I'm in the twilight years of a mediocre life." And that's sad. I'm in the twilight years of a mediocre life. And when I heard him say that, I thought to myself, God, spare me from ever being able to say that. And may God spare you from ever being able to say that. And may God spare us as a church from ever being able to say, we're in the twilight years of a mediocre ministry. Because if that's where we are, then we're going to be like the church that John speaks of in Revelation, the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3, where God says to them, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're lukewarm. And Jesus says, that's repulsive to me. He says there, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And what he's saying there is he's saying, I want you to be hot. I want you to have a passion for taking the next steps in your relationship with me and with others and reaching people with the good news by also being a cold, refreshing drink of water to them. Don't be lukewarm. Don't live a mediocre life or mediocre faith. And they knew exactly what he was talking about, because you see, there in Laodicea, their water system was, they didn't have an existent water supply. They had to pipe water in from miles and miles away. And so the Romans developed this pipe system that they laid down for miles. And over the course of those miles, as the water was transported to the city of Laodicea, it became lukewarm and it had some stuff in it that just was really disgusting tasting. And so they got the message of what Jesus was saying to them through the Apostle John. And Jesus is saying to us today, let's be hot in our passion for him and in our relationship with others, if ministering to them, and let's be a cold, refreshing drink to the people around us. Friends, would God say to you and to your life? Would God say to me in my life, would God say to us in this church family, like he said to the church at Thessalonica a couple thousand years ago, would he say that our faith is growing more and more and that the love every one of us has for each other is increasing? Is that the trajectory of your life? Is that the trajectory of my life? Is that where your life and my life and where our ministry and your ministry and this church body are heading? I got to say, speaking up here on behalf of the staff, that's a trajectory we want to head on this year in our own personal lives and in the life of the church. You see, we want to be a no ordinary church. So that Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians at the end of chapter 1 would be true of us as well. You see, after commending them in verses 3 and 4 for persevering and continuing to grow in their faith and their ministry, even in the midst of the persecution around them from people in their culture, Paul then kind of diverts, as you noticed, in verses 5 through 10 to talk about how their perseverance is going to be honored when Jesus comes back and time as we know it ends here on earth. And then he says this in verse 11a. Look at the first part of 11 as it comes on the screen. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life, what? Worthy of his call. Wow, I don't know about you, but I read that and I want that for me. And I want that for you, and I want that for this church, that God would enable you and me and Community Covenant Church to live a life worthy of his call. To live a life worthy of the calling to be a follower of Jesus. To live the life of being an ambassador for Christ, a representative for Jesus in this world. And Paul is praying that that would be true for the Thessalonians in their life, that they would live their life in such a way for Jesus at the end of time, when they met God face to face, they would hear those words, well done. Well done. And that's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. And that's what I want for this church. But then he goes on and he shows us the only way that's going to happen. He says this, may he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. May he give us the power. We don't have that power in and of ourselves. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And then he says in verse 12, the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. And this is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, his prayer for the Thessalonians is that they would live their life walking in the power of the Spirit so that they could be used by God to bring about his purposes, not their own purposes, but his purposes here on earth, that they could be a part of bringing heaven to earth, as Jen talked about earlier, and as we sang about earlier in our worship service. That we would be a part of bringing heaven to earth, that we would do that by living for God's glory and neighbor's good. Friends, if you and I and Community Covenant Church wants to be a no ordinary church, a healthy missional church who realizes that where we are today is not as important as where we are going and where we will be tomorrow, then we need to keep in step with God's Spirit in regard to the ministries that he calls us to do. And each day you and I need to be waking up and saying, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to realize what Paul Gordon said, that the church is God's basic unit of mission in the world today. And when I get up today, I have a purpose and I have a reason for why you didn't take me back to heaven when you saved me. He didn't just leave us here on earth to kind of putz around. He didn't take us back to heaven right after we were saved, saying, okay, my purpose for you is done. No, he left us here on earth to be filled with his Spirit so that we can live for God's glory and neighbor's good. And friends, unfortunately, so much of the Christian church here in our country today and in our culture has gotten used to nothing happening of the power of God in our ministry. We don't expect much to happen of the power of God anymore. And quite frankly, there are a lot of people when the power of God shows up, they get a bit nervous about it, right? But when we look at the New Testament, and we are still part of the New Testament church, and we see that. We see that in the book of Acts. Read the end of the book of Acts. You'll see it really doesn't have an ending to it. And why is that? It's because until Jesus comes back, the church of Jesus Christ is to be adding new pages to the book of Acts every day. And so we live our personal lives and we live our life as a church family, not being afraid of when God shows up and gets us out of our comfort zone, but we live with the power of the Holy Spirit who operated in the book of Acts and who is alive and well and operates in much of the church today and who lives in you and me, the scripture teaches us, so that we can lay hold of what Jesus says in John 14, verse 12. It won't come on the screen, but listen as I read this. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Wow. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And then he says, not only am I going to the Father, but you're going to do greater things than these because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit upon you so that you can be, in a sense, a no ordinary church. So that you and I can grow in our intimacy with Jesus and grow in community with each other. And then get out there in our world reaching people with the good news about Jesus. Not getting used to not seeing anything happen, but sharing the good news of God with others around us and trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring a change in people's lives. And so, Community Covenant Church, I pray that this year that you and I and this church family will hunger to go after a deeper relationship with God and a deeper relationship with each other, that we will take our next steps in our relationship with God and with each other in 2025. And as a result of that, we will see the supernatural power of God at work and more lives will be changed and new pages will be added to the history of the church in the book of Acts through God's people. Through Community Covenant Church. Oh, how I pray that we will be no ordinary church.